Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book, the letter to the Romans from the Apostle Paul, chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. It's called Love for One Another. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and in jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us,
thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have an identifiable marker. I got it as an act of solidarity when I was in seminary because my seminary cohort and I were quite bonded. And we took the weight of our vocation very seriously. And the responsibility of becoming pastors, we really felt was holy work. We also had to rely on each other so much because this language in a religion is so different than any terminology we had ever come across before. And the Bible is quite an interesting document. So our favorite saying was, what does this mean? And what do we do with this? So all of this to say is that we had a bond and we carried each other, not just through the content of the seminary work, but through life. There were divorces and marriages and cross-country moves, new babies, there were deaths, and there were lots of questioning and lots of tears. So we all wanted an identifiable marker that would live with us forever to mark this profound experience with each other and how it changed our lives. So the identifiable marker we chose was a tattoo. So I have a tattoo that is a symbol of agape love, and it also carries the meaning of agape love. So it looks like a heart, kind of a fancy little heart, and in the middle there's this human going, yay! And so that outreach of a human in the heart is that symbol of agape love. If you Google it, it will come up. So we were so proud of ourselves. We were learning this seminary knowledge and that there were four kinds of love and five, depending on which scholar you follow, different kinds of love in the Bible. So there's this love of an emotional bond, a love of a friendship bond, romantic love, and then there's agape love, which is God's love or unconditional love. And that's the topic for us today. So agape, or unconditional love, is that ongoing intention to the will to another's highest good. It's not the emotional love we feel with a newborn or a new puppy. or even falling in love. Agape love is that identifiable marker, and that marker of love defines the attitude and behavior, and it becomes the norm by which we take account of our life. If there is anything to any one person, known or unknown, it is love. And in today's scripture, we have this love triangle going on. It's a love of self, love of neighbor, and love of God. And the great thing about agape love is that it's not linear. You don't have to love one first to love the other, because the love of God is simultaneously inseparable from the love of neighbor, because God is the neighbor. And it only makes sense that if God is our neighbor, God is love, God is in us, God is within us, and we live in a global society. So everyone is our neighbor, and love does what is good for the neighbor. Now, agape love is different than the other three or four types of love in the Bible because it is action-oriented and has to do with our behaviors. Because agape love involves our behaviors, sometimes that means we might have to change to transform our hearts. And friends, at this time when we are going through a period of divisiveness and polarization, how do we transform our hearts to those who are on the other spectrum from us? How do we love those outside our faith community or outside our comfort zone, or maybe even those who vote differently than we do? Think about someone like that. Agape love takes practice, since it does involve our behaviors. It takes practice because the emotional and friend bonds are so natural to us. We know what that's like in our lives. So how do you have agape love? How do you have the steady intention of the will to another's highest good? Love of others, or as God loves us. So here's what's happening in our scripture today. The author is the Apostle Paul, and he's the one for spreading Christianity around. And according to Paul's thinking, now remember, these are ancient times, so Paul thinks that the end of the world is coming, as evidenced by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So Paul's in a really big hurry and seeking salvation for everyone. You might say his neighbors. So God's love and law is for everyone, and Paul is out there spreading that message. And there's some urgency in that message, since the end is near. And that urgency is agape love. And he's telling us in the scripture that that's more important than the law, the Torah, or other commandments. Paul wants the power of love to shine. Now, for a modern day perspective. You'll have to just go with me on this one for a minute. In 1962, President John F. Kennedy gave a speech to the world about sending people to the moon for the first time. And at that time, going to the moon seemed so far-fetched to the American citizens, and folks couldn't understand how going to the moon could have a personal and individual impact on them. So President Kennedy, in his profound speech, talked about progress, knowledge, and choice, and tells the American people how going to the moon will impact all of us. As individuals through knowledge, as society through progress, and overall humankind through choosing our own destiny. Now, how did I make the leap from going to the moon to love? It's about meaning, and it's about meaning making. So what Kennedy was doing was telling us that there are multiple levels of meaning for going to the moon, and that the impact was significant for us as individuals, for society, and for humankind. President Kennedy had this way of communicating the impact to us. He said, "We go to the moon because we choose our destiny. The result will impact progress, knowledge, and advancement." And using the example of going to the moon in his inaugural address, he said this, "And this may not be finished in the first 100 days of my presidency, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor maybe not in our lifetime, but let us begin." So agape love is about creating levels of meaning. Agape love in divisive times can accomplish this. Can you imagine loving others so differently from us today? Again, I'm not, nor do I think the Apostle Paul is asking you to have emotional love, friendly love, or affectionate love for those that you might have identified earlier. But agape love is different. Now, in the examples of our scripture today and in the moon adventure, do we stay the same? Do we stay the same as we are today? And how do we make progress as humankind? Kennedy would say that we choose our destiny. We create the meaning. Now, clearly, without evidence, but the strength of faith, it is love. And what if we take agape love and apply the concept of multiple levels of meaning to the person or persons we thought about earlier, those who are different in thought, belief, or who vote differently? Let us take agape love and apply that multiple level of meaning to all levels of humanity. So, for example, to us as individuals, if we practice agape love, we practice new actions and thoughts. For our society, if we practice agape love, we build meaning for a bold new vision. And for humankind, if we practice agape love, we create a spiritual movement that progress may move beyond our own divisiveness. The political environment and the pandemic will continue, and our response to it is our choice. What will our destiny be? Are we going to sit back and watch and then look behind to see what the result was? Love of neighbor and self are obligations to ourselves and to others. And while some feel that the Constitution means you can do whatever you want and put others at risk, no, that's not what it means. Communities are made up of people bound together, and when that bond is agape love, that's transformation. We must accept this challenge to practice agape love, holding others to the highest level of will. God's love, even when it's hard, love is still the path. So my identifiable marker, my tattoo, is a reminder to practice agape love to my neighbor. We must put love on. A love that is big enough for those people and those situations and even those who seem to divide us, but have the opportunity to unite us. Because the moon landing, as far-fetched as it may seem from love, is progress that will be made. And right now, hate and division are what's defining us. Progress will only be made with love. And that's where we come in. We as individuals, as a faith community, and as a nation, we create meaning at every level. And the moon landing is just an example of we can do hard things. We can do things we have never done before. And it's hard. And so was going to the moon. And so was thinking that the end was near. As President Kennedy said, let us begin. Let us begin to make agape love our identifiable marker. And let us begin today. Amen.